Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Thursday, February 29th, 2024. Happy leap year. Is that a thing? And today we are continuing our series of rethinking podcasting norms. So if you don't mind, hit the share button, bottom left-hand side of the screen if you're listening live on Clubhouse. And if you are listening via podcast, please share this with a fellow podcaster. And if you don't mind, give us about 2 minutes and we'll get things rolling. Thanks for being here. Did I get through the whole song? Did I actually not experience tech issues? I am blown away. And I will say the tech issues that I've been dealing with specifically here on Clubhouse, I think I've figured out at least part of the problem. And I think this could have been the problem even when I was traveling. Might not have been a loose wire that I had suspected. I think it's the changes in the app. When I updated my app a couple of days ago, I guess they have made some new changes. For example, the way I make somebody a moderator here on Clubhouse is, at least I used to be able to tap and hold the profile picture of each mod. And then it would give me that option to make them a moderator. But now if I tap and hold their face, it takes me to a private one-on-one chat and opens up an entirely new screen. And I think that causes my audio to cut out here in the room, even if I leave that private chat. Little technical stuff, but I think that was what was going on. Or other activities similar to it here on the app. I think that was what was happening. So, you know, as I see, like, Walt just popped in here, and I was about to tap and hold his face and cause the same issue. So it's definitely a habit I have to recreate here. So thank you for bearing with me, and I am optimistic today. Yesterday, I was ready to call it all quits. I was so frustrated, not because of the Clubhouse stuff. The Clubhouse stuff was just kind of the start of the frustration around tech. And then yesterday, I was dealing with my camera and my teleprompter, nothing working right. My video, there seemed to be some kind of flare or burn in the actual screen when I was shooting video. which I think I've also figured out. I think that was really more of a glare than anything else, because if I move it into some different positions, that thing goes away. So I was frustrated yesterday, really frustrated. And I ended up going live on Instagram to let it all out so that I didn't take it all out on my wife. I've learned, especially lately, I've learned that it's better for me to first vent and get it out before I go talk to my wife about it, because I end up just arguing with her because I'm in a foul mood. And Sid joined me, DJ Rez, who is up here on stage, one of our community members. He joined me first just to allow me to vent. DJ Rez was allowing me to vent. Sid was, I know it was calculated, he was trying to distract me from my frustration. I'll first say hello to Rez, since I'm talking a little bit about this and them. So good morning to you, Rez. Thank you for joining me on the live last night. Now, let me pause. I can't hear Rez.
I can't hear him either.
Okay. Still can't hear you, Rez. Let me go to Sid. Sid, am I right? Were you trying to distract me from my frustrations?
No. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because that was not my original intent. Okay. Was to distract you. But I was, especially in the chat to begin with, I was trying to help you reframe the situation to make you feel better about it, right? But then when I jumped on, then yes, I think distracting you, actually, I hope it actually helped you. That was my goal. It would have been my goal.
It did. It absolutely did help me. Thank you for doing that and joining me. I appreciate it. I saw some of you popping in and supporting, and I appreciate it. And I think I'm going to try to do that more often. All right. So I've wasted a lot of time here. Thank you for letting me. And I wanted to ask an icebreaker question, even though it's not related to tech. Unless somebody has a good tech-related icebreaker question that you think suits this, you're more than welcome to share it. Otherwise, I will shift gears and ask my question. Because today we're going to be rethinking more podcast norms. And although maybe it's not quite the norm these days as much, I'm talking about episodic podcasting versus seasonal. Episodic used to be, I think, more of the way people went. And I still think it is, especially with independent podcasters, it is still the more popular format for a podcaster. And I want to challenge that. I also want to challenge the idea of seasonal. I want to dig into this and see where we all land as far as preferred formats and why. So on this theme of rethinking norms, Nick, good morning to you. What's one piece of conventional podcasting, we'll call it wisdom, that you disagree with and why? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good to be back in here. I don't know. I might be dipping out early again this morning, but I don't know if this is necessarily conventional podcast wisdom or something that I made up in my head, probably more that one. I would say if you're not doing a seasonal podcast, that you essentially can't take breaks. I was going steady, probably for 2 to 3 years, just steady, not missing a beat aside from possibly like a holiday. And I was consistent. I was very adamant. It was a lot of late nights just because I felt like, no, I have to put out the episode. There's no other option. If I put out the episode, then I'm failing, essentially. I've since changed my tune on that. And like I said, it's probably not conventional podcast wisdom. They probably tell you the opposite of that. But in my head, that was the gospel.
So meaning that grind of having to put it out every, whatever that schedule is, every week, having to grind it, having to put it out and never stopping. That's what you're saying? Yeah. Yeah. I think that you're right. And I think that's a fair answer, right? Sometimes I think the conventional wisdom just comes from our own heads, but I do think it probably was planted there through other content you've seen or other people you've heard talking about as far as how they podcast. So I think that's very relatable. And I think that goes along a bit with our topic today. Let me keep things moving and then we'll dig into that. Sid, good morning to you. What's one piece of conventional podcasting wisdom, either yours or someone else's, that you now disagree with and why?
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to answer this a little bit generically, and this is present company excluded from the comment that I'm about to make. But there are a lot of gurus out there that say, do this, do this, do this, and you're going to have this, this, and this, and this is what's going to happen. And I think that those gurus are just trying to sell you something, and it's a bunch of BS for the most part. So what I guess what I'm saying is don't listen to those gurus who are yelling at you. Listen to the people who really understand what they're doing and doing it themselves, like Simona and Mark and Nick, who are all in the field of helping podcasters.
Well, thank you, Sid. I appreciate that. And yeah, I think I was noticing with my frustration with all my tech equipment that I fell back into that trap of listening to the quote-unquote gurus out there that talk about how important it is to have high-quality equipment. And you all have heard me talk so often, I think, most of you have heard me talk so often saying, work with what you got. And then I bought one new piece of equipment, that teleprompter, and that sent me down a rabbit hole. I started thinking, well, now I have this teleprompter, and everybody says I need the high-quality camera, and I got to do that. And then I fell into, I need better lighting, and I spent a ton of money. Probably didn't need to, and probably wouldn't have had the headaches. I appreciate that answer, Sid. Good morning to you, Simona. Yes, please share a piece of conventional wisdom that you maybe fell into, believed in, no longer do. Good morning.
Well, the tech issue stuff is like, tech is like my middle, tech issues is like my middle name. I always have a tech issue with something. But that said, I think I would say that you need to have perfect audio. I would forego perfect audio quality. And I don't mean like, you know, record from your car while you're on the highway and there's like cars honking in the background. But like, you know, if you don't have, you know, your whole setup and your mic and whatever, and you want to still record an episode, like do that, you know? I'll give you an example. Last week I recorded like 4 intros for my whole series going out on as it relates to podcasting. I recorded 2 podcast episodes and then I recorded a whole bunch of other stuff. And then I realized afterwards that my mic wasn't plugged in. And I was like, honestly, I don't care. I'm going to run it as is. I was like, I don't have time to sit down and re-record it all. And it took me like 3 hours. And I was like, nope, we're just going to run it as is. So I think that there's room there. And I really don't think at the end of the day that's that big of a deal. But like, I think like if you have a mic, like use it. And maybe I'm not giving the best advice right now, but like, I just, when you think about time versus what you're trying to create, like I don't think it matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, I hear you. I think that really when I talk about audio quality and the importance of it, for me, I'm sharing the fact that as long as people can hear it, understand it, and aren't distracted by the audio quality, because bad audio can be very distracting. I think if it happens on occasion, whether it's you didn't have the equipment handy yet you felt compelled to share, or you made a very common mistake like Simona shared where you didn't hit the right button to capture that audio correctly, you still put it out, right? Like if it's good content, then put it out anyway. And Simona, I hope you, I say this, but you know, do what you do. I hope maybe you shared that with your audience, that very sentiment that you just shared with us. Because I think, especially on a podcast like yours, as it relates to podcasting, I think that would be very relatable for your audience.
You know, that's funny. That would require me having to re-record to add into it.
Yeah, I thought about that.
But I think, I honestly think people will be able to, they'll be able to tell because it's the intro and the outro to the show, and the actual podcast like episode itself is recorded properly with Megan, who was our guest yesterday in the room. So like the actual episode itself is recorded on the good mic, but the intro and outro, like I'm sure people will be able to tell. And like, you know, like you said, Mark, like what I mean mostly is like, as long as you can hear it and you can understand it. And of course, it depends on like the application in which you are using it. Like if you're using it to, I don't know, record an episode and then potentially submit it to like a bunch of like awards, like maybe you want to have a better mic. Maybe you want to make sure your setup is good. But if you're just kind of like on the fly and you need to get stuff done, I think it's okay.
Yeah. And I think social media has helped with the tolerance of the quality of audio and video. I think those real and raw, that real and raw content has become a thing and more acceptable. And again, yeah, to Simona's point, ideally you are recording with higher quality audio, higher quality video when, you know, under normal circumstances. But I think the point we're trying to make here is if you have a one or two episodes that isn't quite there, that put it out anyway. It's okay. People will understand. People may not notice. People want the content. Dominic, good morning to you. Welcome back. And before we get to you, I see Alex wants to say something. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, can you guys hear me first off?
We can.
Oh my God, it didn't like click on and off. You know, I just jumped in the room. I saw about the whole audio thing. I mean, one of the things that's really frustrating as a podcaster is when your guest has bad audio and there's nothing you can do about it. And again, I don't know the whole situation with Simona, but I've had a couple of guests, they're using their phone, which is not bad, or they don't speak close enough to the phone or whatever, but you kind of go with it. And that's the hardest part is you really, what's the alternative? Not record. And again, I didn't hear the whole Simona situation, but I know she probably made it work like you always do. So, but yeah, that's a frustrating thing. And you can't tell the guest, oh, go buy a mic, you know? So, that's a hard thing, but yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And I know some people that I guess maybe have bigger budgets, they will actually send a microphone to their guests, which that's a whole logistical nightmare for me anyway. All right, we're going to you, Dominic. Good morning. And yeah, what's one piece of conventional podcasting wisdom that you disagree with?
Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone is well. And also for anybody's interested, mini beef tacos are on the menu.
Oh, nice.
Mini beef tacos.
Yum.
On the menu. So for me, and I guess I've been feeling about, you know, a little, you know, in my spirit about this for the past week and a half. You don't have to monetize your show if you don't want to. Because I get the sneaky suspicion that sometimes there are people who are hobbyists and they just want to record a show. They just want to do something for fun. And I think they sometimes come to quote unquote gurus or experts or whatever, and they get turned off because the first thing that's thrown at them is monetization, monetization, monetization. And so just to let people know, if you just want to go and record like bird sounds for an hour for your podcast, go for it. Like if that's what makes you happy. So yeah, you don't have to monetize your show if you don't want to. That's
I like it.
Spiel.
Yeah, I like it. And yeah, because you can do it really cheap to where you don't have to monetize it to support the show.
Correct.
Yeah. Sid, go ahead.
Yeah, that is such a great comment, Dominic. And I will add one thing to that is that if you do decide to monetize your show, you do not have to follow the rules that the industry says that they pay this much per download, whatever that acronym is called. You do not have to follow that process.
Oh, correct. I mean, Billy gives us time and time of examples all the time when he comes on stage. So no, that's definitely proof of concept. I mean, you know, there's many ways up that mountain, not just the one. So
agreed. Thank you for that one. And what I'm loving about this question is that I'm writing all these topics down because I think we could talk at length about most of them. So future episodes of the Podcasting Morning Chat, this ongoing series of rethinking podcasting norms. I'm digging this conversation. Thank you. And let's keep it going. Let's actually, Stacey, I saw you came off mic. Did you want to comment on this?
I did. Thank you. Life is ironic. So this is not exactly applicable, but it's so correlated because you're talking about price and you're talking about money and podcasts, et cetera. And it's really interesting. I read an article this morning that I had to literally write a blog article about this very moment, about price and charging and not charging and charging more and then retracting. So I don't know if you saw about Wendy's in the news was creating this dynamic pricing and surge pricing, and there was major backlash. So it's not going to do that now. But it's really interesting about when we charge, when we invoke pricing into people, and then the ramifications of it. So this Wendy's is a really good example for all of us on the approach when you start charging or when you charge more, and how you have to listen to the voice of your customers and their feedback to form those strategies. So it's related, but it's not, but we're talking about pricing and things like that, monetization, and Wendy's is a great example today on the backlash and what it can do to your brand.
Thank you, Stacey. I think Simona wants to chime in. Go ahead, Simona.
I have a clarifying question. Do you mean Wendy's, like the hamburger Wendy's?
I do. Yeah.
They have a surge for food?
Dynamic pricing and surge pricing. And they put it in the news, and then there was major backlash yesterday, and now they're backing down. And so I'm writing an article this very minute about how you have to listen to the voice of customer to inform your decisions before you do something. And it's a perfect customer experience best practice, and how Wendy's is such a great case study right this minute on how the importance and how they're proactively listening and going to not do this pricing surge.
Yeah,
from my understanding.
That's fascinating. And it reminds me, as you're sharing about it, it reminds me of this very app, right? Like, some may be surprised to hear me knock it, but because we've been using it for the past 2 years. But the truth of the matter is, Clubhouse continues to change everything, quote unquote, about their app, and then without any feedback. And then the people who are still using the app get frustrated and leave. And it's why this, in my opinion, why this app is no longer what it was. I mean, sure, the pandemic was a big reason why it kicked off, and where people were home, this was something for them to connect with others. And I still believe it is a platform that could be very popular, very relevant today, if the owners of the app, the creators of the app, paid attention to what their people want. Go ahead, Sid.
Oh, we will not go down that rabbit hole, because I think a lot of us that have been here for a while can like add a lot of comments to that. But what I was going to just say to what Stacey was talking about, Wendy's, I did see all of that. And it was built around an announcement of how they were going to go into all their stores and add digital displays for ordering without having to talk to a person. You walk up to a digital board and you order. And in that same announcement, when they announced the surge pricing and the other things they were going to be doing. So I honestly think, Stacey, they were trying to hide it in the announcement of this new innovative thing they're doing to create a better customer experience. And then that one little blurb about the dynamic pricing was more than one little blurb, but it really backfired on them.
Yeah. And so the lessons for all of us as businesses, as brands, you're charging for communities, you're charging for, you know, like there's a real case study in this, and this is a real customer experience lesson that I'll be telling around this. So again, I didn't want to detour to Wendy's, but there's so much here.
No,
and
I think
feedback is a gift.
Yeah. And I think I appreciate you bringing this. I have no problem taking something like a corporate giant and figuring out ways that it does relate to what we do and learn from what they're doing. I think it's important. So thank you. I appreciate that. And Stacy, if you can, go ahead and when you're done, if you're posting that article, blog, whatever it is, share the link with me and I'll put it in the show notes for today's episode.
Yeah. Thank you. I will.
Awesome.
I'm focused on this topic this morning unexpectedly.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. And all right. Let's see. I'm going to keep this going because I'm enjoying this part of the conversation and we still have time to then dig into seasonal content versus episodic and where everybody stands on that. So let me go to Walt. Good morning, Walt. Welcome back to the stage. What's one piece of conventional podcasting wisdom that you disagree with?
Good morning, good morning. I think in general, I like strongly disagree with like 98% of like absolute truths on how to do podcasting. Like, I don't think you... It's just everyone's show is unique in the way they do things. And it's just like people break the norms all the time. But I'll say that yesterday or the day before, I realized I was wrong about something. And I was like, I was actually like annoyed because I just did all this research to like do this and set this up. So, I do think it's important to create a show that's discoverable. And one of the ways to do that is being intentional about how you title your episodes. So we're prepping to release a true crime podcast next week for my job. And it's supposed to be one that's going to get a lot of attention for us because it's one of the ones that kind of got a lot of downloads without any promotion or marketing. Whole other story for later. But, so I went through and I was like, okay, yeah, our titles right now are just like two words. They don't make any sense to me. Let's just add more to it, give more description and all this stuff. So I was going in, pulling some stuff. Like, okay, this is like in this city. Maybe I could pull it up so like people in that region are like, oh my God, let me check that out. All this stuff. I was very proud of myself. I did use AI as well just to make it even a little more saucy. But yeah, and I shared it with someone who was like more of a true crime listener and stuff, and she was just kept on mentioning something about like giving too much away, and so I decided to look at what other true crime podcasts are doing, and the ones who won awards, the ones who haven't, and it's like consistently a lot of them just were, it would just be the name of the victim or just like a one word. And I'm like, what's going on? Like these like top notch, like award winning, like stuff that Donald would probably put out to like collect all these awards and stuff. Everyone's like out here just, yeah, it was just crazy. It was just crazy. I felt like not embarrassed, but like, what am I doing? So yeah, that was my, you don't have to or podcast norm, that I was wrong about. Titling your episode.
Yeah, I like that. That was actually on my list as at least the whole subject of titling episodes is on my list of things to discuss along the lines of rethinking podcast norms. So I love that one. And yeah, appreciate that story. Thank you, Walt. Quickly, I want to go to DJ Rez because I had said hello to him earlier and thanked him for helping me with my frustrations last night, and I want to make sure, can we hear you now, Rez? Yeah.
You hear me now?
Yes, we can. You're coming okay, in.
I have to go on Club Deck. I don't know what's going on with the iPhone. Okay. Yeah, so my opinion on this topic, and by the way, Mark, yeah, it was good to see you last night. Glad that back on track.
Yeah.
Feel free to mention.
It's good
anytime.
To see you too, because I don't think we've actually ever seen each other face-to-face, just only here on this app, so it was good to talk to you.
Exactly. Likewise. So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but is one of the conventional things about podcasting that like the focus of the episode is more about the guests you have on the show rather than you as a host? Is that correct?
I think that's yes. And I think that's almost an unspoken piece of conventional wisdom. Like people, I think, just go into that assuming it. Yeah.
Okay. And so here's what that's the piece I want to disagree with. I think if somebody wants to listen to your podcast, you also have to be a good showman. You also have to be somebody that they go on the show for. I don't care if you have Donald Trump on your show, right? You know, they're the guests or the listeners that you have to be likable as well. So that's kind of what I want to focus on. And whenever I put out segments on Instagram, little suspenseful clips, I try to have my voice heard in addition to the guest's voice as well, right? I oftentimes see clips of other folks that are putting out clips on Instagram, and I don't even hear the host. I don't even know how the host sounds, right? So I think that's important. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think Dominic wants to chime in as well. Go ahead, Dominic.
Yeah, I definitely agree with this because I know I often talk to subject matter experts and stuff like that. And even when I do with Blackest America, like just because the information is important or there's a celebrity on there that you want to hear from doesn't mean that's going to sell it itself. I think to Rez's point, you do have to kind of sell it a little bit and be a bit of a showman. So I do agree with this.
Right on. And I feel like I saw somebody else come. Oh, well, John came up here also. So we're going to go to Alex and then John. Go ahead, Alex.
I deal with a lot of shows that everybody podcasts on. I mean, who doesn't talk about the latest Marvel stuff? But the reason why people listen to anyone is because they like the person. And I think there's a lot to be said about, you know, whether you're an entrepreneur like I am in my real job, so to speak, you know, you are your business or you are your podcast, and you have to take ownership of that. And the sooner you can do that, right or wrong, good or bad, they're going to love you or hate you. And I think that that's something that's really important as a podcaster. You need to take ownership of. And a lot of times it's hard because you don't want to mess up. You're like, oh, I sort of podcast, I sort of don't, when you first start. So it's a hard thing to do. But once you put that coat on, it's great.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. Appreciate that. And John, did you want to comment too?
Yeah, I agree with DJ Rez wholeheartedly. Number one, my philosophy is very simple. You're going to hear my voice first and foremost, and it's never about the guest. It's always about their story. The only time I will lead with the guest is if they're a paid advertiser. Why would I do free advertising for someone else if it's about building my show and developing an audience for my show? So in the titling, I always lead with the topic, the subject matter. Then in the show notes is the guest name. The guest name's never in the title.
Thanks, John. And the one thing I would say is something you said there sparked something for me. And I think it was, it's about, this is your show and you don't want to necessarily give that free ad. And I do think there is some value, and feel free to comment. I do think there's some value when we're bringing on a guest, they are delivering content for us, right? Without them, we're not getting that value, that specific right. piece of information. So there is some value there. There is an exchange there, I feel like.
Nothing's going to happen until people listen or view the show. So studies have shown over and over and over again, if you put in your guest name, people don't search for that, but they're searching for the topics. So for them to get exposed to your guest, they got to listen or view. In order to do that, you got to get their attention first.
Yeah.
If you don't get their attention first, point B can't happen. So it doesn't matter what they got to say, no matter how life-changing it is, if no one listens to it, it doesn't matter.
Yes, I'm with you there. Rez, did you want to add something?
Yeah, Mark, I just want to quickly comment. Remember, why do people listen to podcasts? In my humble opinion, I feel like it's the entertainment aspect. A lot of it is entertainment. Like, you have to make your guests laugh and during the episode. You have to bring up the energy a little bit. You have to do those things. It can't be boring. People don't want to listen to boring podcasts, right? That's kind of the other thing I want to mention.
Yeah, I think bringing out emotion is. I mean, it sounds weird to say it, but that is part of the entertainment factor. I think people, at least to what you're saying, it's keeping interest. If you can go through a series of emotions throughout an episode of a podcast, you are more likely keeping the attention of your audience. They are going through that roller coaster with you. Go ahead, Alex.
I have a question. I mean, I if you're doing an interview with somebody, a celebrity interview, I guess an interview is an interview is an interview, but people might be searching that person. Not that I'm saying what you're talking like with the title, having their name in the title is wrong. I just don't know. I would think people would be looking for it, but again, it's a norm that people aren't taking a look
there's
at.
A very simple clue. You can check Moz.com and you can check to see if there's getting keyword searches on their guest name. If they're not, more than likely they're searching for the topics they're talking about.
Okay. All right. It's worth a shot.
Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Nick, go ahead.
Yeah. On that point, I agree with John. You need the topic in the title. Like, that's what people are going to search. That said, for my episodes, I would always lead with the topic, and then I would put kind of like that line divider thing, or say with and my guest name. And that was strictly for SEO purposes. And there were a lot of instances where I'm outranking that person in Google. Like, if, as an example, you search Mark Ronick, my podcast is showing up above Ironic Media. That's not actually the case, but just an example.
You worried me. I was just about to start typing. Go ahead.
Just an example. So I do think that there's value in that. And to John's point, like, some people are going to be searched more than others, but I mean, even if they're getting searched 10 times a month, that's 10 more people that are coming to my website, 10 more people that are possibly checking out my podcast. So I like leaving the name in the title, but I'm definitely not going to make the episode title the name, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I usually do that. Like, if you look at the last two episodes of the Podcasting Morning Chat, I'm putting in the searchable stuff in the title, and I'm concluding the title with the name of the guest. Because I do think in some cases, yeah, some guests are going to be searched for. I know as a listener, there are times where I am searching for specific people. And they've got to be known names too, right? Like, no offense to Megan Shields, because she's awesome. And I don't think a lot of people are going on Apple Podcasts searching for Megan Shields from yesterday. I think if anything, they might be searching for Facebook advertising. So yeah, I think it depends, right? It just depends. And I think John's points are very valid. Let's see here. We have a full stage and people continuing to join us. Matt, good morning to you. Did you want to comment on this topic since you came up here right as we were wrapping it up? I want to make sure you get to speak.
Yeah, just real quick, to John's point. So what I did was, I used to just have the guest name, having a handful of A-level celebrities on the show. So for example, I had, we had Sheryl Crow. So what I did was I compromised. So I took John's advice, and I think that you said mentioned the same thing, took John's advice, put the title of the episode into the type, put a title of the episode, not put the guest name in. Now, if you have a celebrity guest, of course you put the guest name in there. But what I do now, and after hearing that, I have the compromise is I'll title the episode at the very beginning. So for example, Sheryl Crow was Mental Health and Rock and Roll, - Sheryl Crow with Brad Warren. That's the way I do it. So all my guests, I'll have three or four words to title the episode, and then I'll mention the guest name. So that's the compromise I negotiated with myself.
That's fair.
I agree with John, and I also agree with other folks too.
Yeah. And I think this is why we're here, and why we're, I'll say, challenging some of these things. It's because ultimately we got to figure out what works for our podcast and what works for our audience and potential audience, and how they're searching for us. How are they finding us? Does anyone else want to share a piece of conventional podcasting, quote unquote, wisdom that you disagree with? Go ahead, Soda. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to come up because mine actually has to do with the topic. So I just wanted to mentioned that for me, it was that you just, if you don't know anything about podcasting or any public speaking, anything like that, just get started and jump in. And that might work for some people. But for me, I knew it wouldn't work. So I kind of started slowly getting in. I started doing lives. I started doing these YouTube videos. I started kind of small and then worked my way up to be able to start my official podcast. And I think of my kind of, I put together my lives and I made it kind of like a pre-season of my podcast. And so, or like a bonus season. And then I went on to do my actual podcast. And I feel like that actually helped me a lot to not quickly go into pod fade. So that's what I think.
Yeah, that's a great norm. Because yeah, sure, we hear it all the time. Just get started. And it does work for some people. And look, I mean, I'm an example, even though I've been doing this for as long as I have, this very podcast, I wasn't comfortable putting it out as a podcast for 2 years. I was only comfortable doing it live. And when, for whatever reason, I had a shift in my thinking, and I don't know, maybe it was just that, okay, I acknowledged I'm ready for this to be a podcast. So yeah, you got to do what makes you feel comfortable. I think the biggest lesson out of just get started is really just get started your way, right? In other words, don't not do anything. If you're going to do nothing, that's just going to be frustrating. You're going to probably end up feeling lousy about yourself, right? Because you want to do this thing and you're not letting yourself. So instead, yeah, find ways that you can go to your podcast gym and practice. Clubhouse was my podcasting gym. It's where I get to practice doing my thing. And that's what helped me ultimately put this podcast out. Yes, I have had several other podcasts over the years. And for whatever reason, this was a different way of doing it for me. And I wasn't comfortable until I was. And then I put it out there. So yeah, I like that. Get started your way. Go ahead, Stacey.
Get started your way. I think that's a very important statement, because you're going to have people in your life who don't understand why you're not getting started. It's so practical, but don't understand the emotion behind it. And I think that what you just said, you're just going to have many people, supportive people in your life that just like, just start, just do it, just stop complaining. But it took you that long, Mark, to take the pivot. And I have that in my life where people around you may not understand, why did you not start already? Why did it take so long? And it's just not a straight path, the practical versus the emotion of it. And I just want people to be sensitive to your timing, even if others don't understand it.
Mm. Yeah, thank you, Stacey. And yeah, I was thinking, you know, so some of you may not want to do Clubhouse. So don't do Clubhouse. Do an Instagram Live. Do a Facebook Live. Whatever you can do to start getting comfortable with the idea of, I'll call it, broadcasting to the public. Nick, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I wanted to just throw in there, because I agree with what Soda said and what Stacey was saying, but I also wanted to mention that it is a fine line between like doing it your own way and doing it on your own time and just making excuses for yourself as well. So yes, I agree. Like, everyone's got to go at their own pace, but also don't let that be the thing that holds you back from actually achieving or doing what you want to do.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you, Nick. And did anyone else hear the cooing going on while Nick was sharing? Ari has joined us, I see. Stacey, did you want to keep this going? Go ahead.
Just the last sentence to what Nick said, and I'm speaking from personal experience on what you're saying too, is that I agree with you. You can't let it be an excuse or cop-out or delay tactic. At the same time, you need people, it's all how it's said. So support yourself around people who encourage you and hold you accountable, but it's how it's said. So if someone's telling you, like, damn it, why aren't you already starting? Right? You're going to rebel. You're going to get angry. Versus if someone says to you, hey, how can I be helpful? I see the progress. I see what you can do. You know, it's like, pick your support team carefully and then explain how you're stuck so they can be supportive.
Yeah. Thank you, Stacy. Dominic, go ahead.
I think this is just a classic case of, you know, as my wife says in education, meeting the student where they are, right? Because I think there's just times where, you know, there are some people who need the kick in the butt. And there's also the people who need a softer approach, if you will, right? And so I think it really speaks to knowing who that particular person is and crafting that message to whatever's going to motivate them. So that's all I had to add to that part.
Yeah. Meeting people where they're at. Absolutely. Billy, welcome to the stage. What did you want to add?
Hey, what's up? I hope you guys are doing good. I'm crushing this morning. So I haven't been up here yet, but just wanted to say hi. And then also when it comes to getting comfortable, if this is behind a microphone or in front of a video camera, and a lot of people would probably go watch my content and be like, this guy's never been shy to talk in front of a camera, because I practiced doing live shows in a closed Facebook group that only I had access to. And I had my live streaming software set up in there, and I had my show set up in there, and I would literally just go live and figure out the flow of the show and just rehearse. And I think oftentimes we forget that people do this, you know, like professionals, like actors and actresses, and, you know, like Taylor Swift, believe it or not, she has practice sessions with her band. She just doesn't show up sparkly and crush it in front of millions of people. And so I think we forget about this sometimes as people, as content creators, but there's a lot of preparation that goes into this stuff. I mean, even I just shot 9 videos this morning while you guys have been talking. But each video took a little bit of a rehearsal in my mind. Now, after doing it 2,500 times in the last 18 months, I've like figured out a system. But those first 100 videos, those first 1,000 videos, you know, it took me a while to get down what do I want to say in the time I need to say it. And so I just want to encourage people, like, if you're feeling that imposter syndrome, like a couple of things you're probably doing. One, you're consuming too much content. I understand studying the craft, but I don't. It's kind of like I'm going to go watch porn instead of make love to my wife. Like I'm going to go make love to my wife. Like I don't want to go just live someone else's fantasy. So don't.
Great, you know, example, that by might, the way.
Yes,
that might be like an extreme, but I just want to put it in perspective. It's like, don't get in the rat race of watching and consuming what everyone else is doing, and figure out the balance of educating yourself, getting inspired, and just taking action, and show up for you. Like, God, when I started showing up for myself and being selfish, that's when I started to really succeed. But when I was putting this, like, oh, this humility, this cloak of false humility of, I'm doing it for my family, I'm gonna do it for my wife, I'm gonna do it for my kid, I'm gonna do it for my dad. You know, it's like, no, you're just, that's stupid. Like, do it for yourself, go crush it, and they'll get all the benefits. Trust me. Mm. All right, I'm done ranting. Good morning.
That was a fun rant. Thank you. And you said, you know, sometimes we forget about the idea that these people that are crushing it are also practicing. So yeah, maybe we forget about practice makes progress, or maybe we're also impatient because we see them crushing it. We want to be there. And so we push ourselves to be there and can never get there because we aren't putting in the time, we aren't putting in the practice, or we're just doing it so messy that it's going to take a lot longer to get there. Simona, I saw you had something. I saw Jackie had something. So I'm going to come to you first, Simona, and then we'll hear from Jackie.
Okay. So I just like everything Billy just said. Yes. So much yes to that. I love that so much. And I want to also add to, as someone who maybe other people look at and are like, oh, you know, she does a lot of stuff online and she's always like, you know, doing something, whatever. I was having a conversation with my friend yesterday on my podcast, and we were talking about how much we actually dislike showing up on video and like all of that. Like, I hate the sound of my voice. I hate the way I look on video. I don't enjoy any of it. And I think too, it's about remembering that whatever it is that you're sharing, whatever it is that you're doing, the message that you have to share is so much more important than how you look or sound when you do it. And like, nobody, I mean, a blanket statement, I shouldn't say nobody, but I want to say that like, maybe not everyone loves the way that they show up, but they still do it anyways. And then that's how you get the practice to continue going and going and going. And so I don't know, just if you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, but like, you know, you guys do this day in and day out. Like, yeah, we do it day in and day out, but like, I don't always feel comfortable doing it. Like, my team wants me to go live tomorrow for announcing my rebrand. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to say? You know what I mean? It's like, what am I going to say? How am I going to structure this? Why do people care? You know what I mean? Like, all of those imposter syndrome things come creeping in too. So I don't know. Just wanted to add that for what it's worth. Jackie?
Okay. So I'm so sorry I got here late. What was the original question? Because I want to make sure that my answer is following.
Yeah, that. The original question is, what's one piece of conventional podcasting wisdom that you disagree with?
I would say, and everybody's going to hate me for saying this maybe. It's funny, imposter syndrome came up because I immediately was like, my ears went open because I've been feeling that lately. And I have a show on basically mental health and parenting. We go through the hard times that people have. And then, most of the time, I'd say every episode, it's out of the other side, right? And how they deal with it and how they're healing from whatever happened. Recently, I was asked to do a support group in my community, and which was one of my goals, right? Super exciting. And I had this imposter syndrome come over me because I was like, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not this, I'm not that. But I've been talking to people like this in like my pods on Peanut, in another group I'm a part of, for so long. And all I need to do is have a conversation with them. So it's like, yeah, I just did it. And the reason why I did it was because I was that person that needed that person. Do you know what I mean? Like, I needed the relatable person and I couldn't find them because nobody was being as open as I could be. So it kind of gave me another boost of confidence, actually, to just go back and listen and see like where I started and where I am now. And I'm a person that when I go back, I'm like, wow, that actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. When I go and look at my earlier content, because that's still what's hitting harder. It's crazy how much my first original three episodes are still going up and up and up and up and up. And yeah, I think that's all I have to say. I don't know if I answered the question, but I heard imposter syndrome and I was like, dang, I've been feeling that lately. And I shouldn't, because people have confidence in me and they've listened to my stuff and asked me to step into this role. And this is what I've been wanting to do. It's a peer thing. Like, so I guess the whole thing is, maybe if you're thinking about starting something on mental health, you don't have to be a professional in mental health to do it. You can be a peer and still have people listen and be able to give advice and be able to honor their stories in the way that they need to be honored. So that would be mine.
Yeah, thank you. I think that does fall in line with some of the things we're talking about and some of the things Simona was talking about. You know, what you're saying, Jackie, with imposter syndrome, what Simona's talking about, you know, hating her voice, hating how she looks on camera. This is all, in my opinion, these are things that I consider judgment, and specifically us judging ourselves. And the fact of the matter is, people don't hear us and see us the way we see and hear ourselves. When we are frustrated, and I know I'm being general and a blanket statement here, but when we are complaining about how we sound, when we're complaining about how we look on camera, that's us judging and that's us fearing what other people are going to think. And all right, so this is a little blanket statement too, but you're in the wrong space if you're podcasting and you're letting that get to you. You're putting yourself out there. So embrace it and recognize most people aren't hearing your voice that way. And I forget who said it, but they're there really. Yes, they're there for your personality and they're there for your content. Rez, go ahead.
Okay. I just want to, adding to what you were saying, let's get rid of the four fatigues, right? Decision-making fatigue, persona fatigue, self-judgment fatigue, attachment to outcome fatigue, and then your life will become better.
Mm, thank you. Yeah, powerful. All right, we're going to go to Simona and Dominic. Go ahead, Simona.
Sorry, I just got to the dog park and there was a truck rolling by as you were like, let's go to Simona. And I was like, oh, this isn't going to be good for the podcast. No, I love what you said. And I just kind of, I guess, want to clarify, like, you know, it's not that those things make me not want to do it. In fact, those things make me want to do it even more. And like, you know, those are judgments that I'm sure I pass on myself that I know nobody else is thinking about. But I think that's also what makes me more, you know, relatable to clients when they come to me and they're like, I'm fearful of this and this. You know what I mean? So I don't actually look at it as like a bad thing or something that stopped me personally. I'm just saying it as a point of, I know a lot of people feel this way. And, you know, it just kind of is what it is. Then eventually it just, I don't know, it just gets better. I don't know how to explain it other than like, I don't really look at it as a negative for my own self. I think I actually look at it as something that inspires me to just keep going. So.
Yeah. And yeah, you definitely prove that and show that. And I think, yeah, that does make you relatable. Let's see. Now, I said we were going to Dominic, and I also see Amanda's on stage raising her hand. And if I know my friend Dominic well, he's going to pass it and allow Amanda to go first, being the Southern gentleman that he is.
That is correct.
So, Amanda, good morning. What did you want to add?
Good morning. Thank you, Dominic. You are such a gentleman. I just wanted to touch on this because, you know, this is my wheelhouse. Hold on one second, but I'll get it for you in a minute. You know, I just like, I feel just as if our podcast have seasons, our mindset has seasons too. And this is a prime example of bringing who you are in what you do. And I would have to disagree what you said earlier, Mark, about, you know, if you're not outgoing or this is not for you, it's a process. You know, I feel like even though we're not where we want to be in our mindset at that time, we still have that vision for ourselves. We still have that passion. We still have that quiet whisper saying like, you know what, I really think I would enjoy doing this. Let's take this ride and see what it's all about. You know, so there are seasons, there's learning experiences in the doing of, you know, the tactical, tangible things of your podcast. And there's also a process that you have to go forward in your mindset and building that host that you are so that those two can meet and you can just explode. And I'm speaking from personal experiences because if you listen to season one of Staying Inspired, which at the time was not even Staying Inspired, it was Empowered Playpals. It is a very different vibe. I was very much in my feels, worrying about what everyone was going to think of me, worrying about, you know, having that imposter syndrome. But I will tell you this, and I put it in the comments, but I want to say it on stage because it's such a powerful statement. The feeling that you get from doing the thing and stepping in will always trump the feelings that are holding you back. 100% of the time, every time. And it is a snowball effect. The next time that you go and step in and do the next level thing, remind yourself of how you felt, even though all of those feelings are going to come up. Because here's the thing, and this is why I disagree, Mark. Having those feelings of doubt and imposter syndrome and all of the things that come with that, it's a normal experience. It's who we are as humans. Our brain is wired to keep us safe. So when we're stepping in and we're doing something that's new and unknown, our brain's like, wait a minute here, what are we doing? I don't know if we should do this, but then you have that reminder of what you did the first time, right? And how amazing you felt. And that feeling will always set you forward because it always trumps the fears that are holding you back. So, you know, I just wanted to step in and say there's a process. Each season, you get stronger in the way that you curate your episodes. And each season, you get stronger in bringing that powerhouse host, you know, your mindset, the not caring what people think, the stepping into your confidence and knowing your worth and using your voice and being that amazing host that you know deep down inside that you are.
Thank you for saying that. And to clarify, it wasn't about not being, my statement wasn't about not being outgoing. It was more around if you don't like the sound of your voice, if you don't like how you look on camera, you're probably in the wrong space, or you have to work on getting through that. Right. So, yes, I'm with you. And I really do appreciate that sentiment. So thank you for saying that. Dominic, what did you want to add?
Honestly, I just think that, you know, you were saying earlier that you were you liked some of the questions, questions for the, you know, the topics that were coming out today, you know, as far as the icebreaker, stuff like that, because they could be possible future episodes. Well, I've heard a lot of great conversations today, a lot of great things. And so if you look at the top of the room, there's an application to speak at the Empowered Podcasting Conference. Make sure you get those speaker applications in. I believe the deadline is March 21st, I believe, if I remember correctly. So just a shameless plug, that's all.
I love it. Thank you. I'll take it. I think it's the 22nd. We both should know that. But
that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. 22nd.
I think so. And it's on that application, I believe. So yeah, if you want to do that, by all means, we would love to have you. We've definitely had people submitting, and I want to keep that going. We want a variety of content on stages at this event. Walt, what did you want to say?
Hey, so I just want to say, and I miss part of this because my internet, it's just weird right now connection-wise, but I just appreciate how intentional all of y'all are on, like, making sure people feel welcome to apply to be a speaker. I'm kind of annoyed because I'm going to miss it because someone of our family is supposed to be giving birth around that time, and we all did our marching orders. So I'll be out here in Atlanta all FOMOing it out. But it's just like this, how like you intentionally are about it. If you're feeling imposter syndrome, you're not sure, ask us about us. I feel like I have a toxic relationship with imposter syndrome. Things are getting better, but we're still going to couples therapy. And, this is really cool. It's just really cool. I'm excited about this. I think it's very impactful because you think about all these things and big stuff that exists, and it just started from people coming together to bring value and stuff like that. So I think this is really cool. You have a lot of cool people behind it. Excited about who may be there, and I'm gonna try to get there next year for sure. But yeah, I just want to share that. I just seen it, and I just wanted to say I really wanted to applaud that.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Wall. And I'm definitely a little disappointed that you can't be there, and family first. So maybe, who knows? I'll stay optimistic that somehow, being that Atlanta isn't that far away, maybe we'll work it out.
I'm gonna tell them, see what they could do about holding.
Yeah. Hold that baby inside for a little bit longer, please. Thank you all. And thank you all for such an awesome conversation today. We didn't even get to the topic I was thinking about discussing around the area of rethinking podcasting norms. I wanted to get into seasons versus episodic. I also wanted to dig into things such as whether or not niching our content is still important, still a thing, or if we can get more broad, and if so, how. And I also want to dig in at some point to our release schedules, weekly, bi-weekly, daily, what works, what doesn't. A lot of people just assume I'm going to do a weekly podcast, but is that necessary? So these are other areas I want to dig into on top of some of the others that we touched on a little bit today that I know we could dig into deeper. So to be continued, this ongoing series of rethinking podcast norms. Tomorrow, we are going to talk more podcasting, and we're also sharing our wins from the week. So we want to hear all of the stuff you were able to accomplish this week, big or small. We don't care what size you think the win is. We want to celebrate it with you regardless. So bring it tomorrow. Yes, podcasting wins are much appreciated, and we accept all kinds of wins. So please bring it tomorrow. We're looking forward to it. And remember, we do it every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, live here on Clubhouse, and 7 a.m. Pacific time via podcast. Check it out. And until then, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.